NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Krause will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. All right, we're going to get right into it. We're live in green room for this show. Adam and I break down after 2 days worth of Giannis gush fest. We do kind of get into some of the comments he made that took a little bit of a dig at one Mr. James Harden. And talk about whether the Bucks actually did it the hard way, like Giannis said, or if there's another path. We'll talk about all of it now. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn, yo. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day and streaming live in Spotify Green Room. I'm Doug Norrie, owner operator, DFSR.com. If you need some projections for FanDuel or DraftKings, you know where to go, DFSR.com. NBA season over, but MLB in full swing, pun intended. And that is Adam Armbrecht, host of the One Giant podcast, where he and his boy, Andy Mack, are breaking down the New York football Giants, also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster. Buddy, how are we doing headed into the weekend?
Fresh. I'm feeling strong. You say, you know, basketball ends, but there's other sports they get excited about. I do feel like this is the second time now, though, when the Nets got eliminated. Okay, you got to adjust what your expectations are and what you're going to, how you're going to experience the NBA. And now the NBA is done. This feels like now I got to think about, where am I going to get that fix from this particular sport, as opposed to, because I'll tell you right now, MLB doesn't do it for me, friends. So I've got to figure out some things here in the gap between now and when NFL really gets into gear.
Olympics, it's once every 4 years. You can go and just pretend like you're the biggest fan ever of the random Olympic sports that come on. Just like, I'm a huge rock climbing fan, new to the Olympics this year. Like,
that's true.
You're like, water polo? Yeah, I can learn all these guys' stories real fast. Stuff like that. You know, like track and field. It's like, I can watch these guys sprint, you know, up, or gals, sorry, ladies, guys and gals, you know, sprint up and down the track or whatever. That makes me sound like I just started watching sports yesterday, sprint up and down the track. I'm like, it's like, hey, he made a touchdown score. I watch football too. Yeah, like, this we do. This, like,
I can watch people do the athletics.
Yeah, every 4 years, Olympics offers like this summer lifeline of sports that you can just way over heavily invest yourself in to just immediately forget about the day the torch goes out, right? Like, it's just like, and I will check back in with all you idiots 4 years from now, except for the basketball guys, I guess.
Well, it's weird, man. If it was the Winter Olympics, I know we're going to get into a better conversation here, but the Winter Olympics, man, the fact that I know what curling is, and that I can sit there and watch, just, I can watch hours of curling. I don't know what that means about me, but something about that, there's something almost cathartic and meditative around watching people just slide these cubes down the ice, all in the vein of trying to settle into a nice little target. Let's get me out of this spiral here and talk about the trending James Harden. His name is out there.
Now, one more thing before we get into that. Just another move for all you people at home. Do what I do when I watch gymnastics with my kid. And every time they do something, you just say, I could do that. And then when they say, well, let me see, you say, I don't feel like it right now. It's a great, the kids love it. The kids love it. You just say, oh, yeah, no, I can do that. That's easy. And like, why don't you do it right now? It's like, nah, I'm just kind of tired, worked all day. Something like that. And just keeps, but you just keep, you never take your foot off the gas with it. Like, you just continue to say it the whole time. Like, that's easy. That's easy. I can do that. Yeah. So anyway, that's just the pro tip for all you people at home. All right. Yeah. You wanted to talk James Harden. You want to break this one down or not? Because James Harden trending today for reasons that, I don't know. Someone kept the receipts on something he said a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, I guess, you know, Giannis, after winning the championship and some of his post-game comments, and including the fun ones where he was like, I don't make free throws, made them tonight. Like, they're Giannis is such, a likable personality and doesn't seem to have that, you know, he doesn't have the malice in his voice or his responses, but you could tell he was proud of what he accomplished, right? Proud of being able to do some of the things that people were questioning, and that he hears some of this stuff, as a lot of athletes do. But he also, then threw a little bit of shade, I guess, James Harden's way of, I didn't take the easy route of joining a super team. I went ahead and I stuck it out in the quote small market team, and I earned this in a harder path to a championship than a lot of other superstars and a lot of the premier talents in the league have maybe gone about it.
Yeah, so James Harden, I don't know if it was the beginning of last year, I think it was sometime during last season, where he said, he was in an interview after Giannis had kind of said something about an All-Star game, like it was something post-All-Star game, and Harden said, I wish I could be, this is why you don't say this stuff, folks, because people are like, Giannis keeps the receipts, right? Like this is one of these situations where he obviously used this for bulletin board material because he had this one primed and ready, but Harden said, I wish I could be 7 feet, run and just dunk. That takes no skill at all. This is the exact quote. I've got to actually learn how to play basketball, how to have skill. I'll take that any day. So he's clearly... He doesn't say, I mean, this is a sub mention here, but he's clearly talking about Giannis, right? It's just like, it's one-to-one. It was coming off Giannis having said something. He basically says Giannis is just a 7-footer that runs up and down the court, doesn't have any skill, that if James Harden was that, he would be as good, if not better, than Giannis. There's not even any subtext. It's basically just what he said, right? And so then Giannis, like, I'll read the quote. I know you kind of, quoted here a little. I'll just read the whole thing that Giannis said. This is post-game during the trophy presentation. So it's on the court. They're doing the MVP presentation. Giannis has obviously, gone through a whole range of emotions, but he's absolutely teed up for what he wants to say here. So this is like the equivalent of there's a chance you're going to win the Academy Award, and I just better have something written down to know who to thank and what to say just in case. So he was ready here. He says, it's easy to go somewhere and go win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I could go to a super team and just do my part and win a championship. But this is the hard way to do it. And we did it. We blanking did it. We did it, man. And he raised the trophy. So what are you? It's so great. The NBA just keeps on giving with this stuff. What were your thoughts when you hear Giannis take? It's a pot shot at Harden. People speculated that it could be going toward other people. I feel like he did everything but just say, I'm looking at you, James Harden.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, so the first part of it is the idea of, go back to Harden's original comments, right? On its face, there is an element of, well, yeah, I mean, it is easier. Like, this doesn't diminish anything about Giannis or any of the bigger players, but did Shaquille O'Neal have an easier time playing basketball than a point guard does? Yeah, he's enormous. Like, it's harder to defend him. It's easier to be bigger and taller than people. So, this isn't me, defending Harden's words or whatever. It's taking a shot at Giannis, and it's also trying to elevate his own game. But there is just, I think, a reality to that for any of the smaller players of the NBA that probably feel like, man, I got to work my butt off to do what I do. I do need to have an elevated skill set. By the way, Giannis, you may have noticed off of the finals run that he just went on, pretty talented dude in his own right. Do I think it's really what I want to get past kind of the comments and to maybe the subtext of it or the analysis of what it really looks like, because it's awesome what Giannis did. We talked about this. We did the Gush Fest. At the same time, when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, yes, has Giannis stayed there and done it the hard way? Okay, he did. Was it good scouting and a great draft selection that got them Chris Middleton, who ended up being, wherever you want to rank him, he's one of the better players in the league. Did the Bucks just go out and give away everything in the world to get in Drew Holiday, who is not one of the upper echelon top three guys in the league? But guess what? He cost a buttload of money to get him there, and he served a very important purpose about surrounding this one player in Giannis with the talent to do it, right? Getting, Brook Lopez is not on a small contract and varying degrees of what his impact was. And then even all the little pieces, right? The PJ Tuckers of the world, all the little stuff that goes into it. I understand that Giannis did not leave and go someplace new to win a championship. Also, this franchise did all of the other components that you do when you're trying to form a version of a super team. And that's what I think is a little bit, there's some disingenuous nature about that when you talk about Giannis, because if the Bucks didn't do everything they did in regards to getting Holiday and making sure and paying Middleton, everything else, you were going to leave, Giannis. Like, it's easy to say it now. You were definitely going to look for greener pastures if the franchise was not willing to move heaven and earth to satisfy you, as they well should have, by the way.
Oh, yeah, totally. I have a response to that. First, got to talk to our friends over at Bet Online. Fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Like we said, baseball is in full swing. You get all those odds on Bet Online. You want Olympics? They got Olympics, folks. USA coming up this weekend, minus an 11.5 over France. Oh my God, would love to get a cover. You bet USA and they beat France? It's like just winning on, you know, winning on so many levels. All there for you on Bet Online. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get into the game as these teams and guys and gals roll through the Olympics and the MLB season as well. Head on over to the website, sign up for an account. That's totally free. You make that deposit, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code Locked On. You have to use the promo code Locked On, like our podcast network. 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. You're totally right, right? It's like Giannis says, we did it the hard way. It's like, yeah, you did it. In your mind, you did it the hard way because you didn't go anywhere, right? Like you stayed here the whole time. So that's, I get it that it's organic. And by the way, look, I will say in some ways he's right. Because if you look at this Bucks team, I don't think they had a lottery pick on the entire team. I don't think this has ever happened. I don't think a single guy that made a meaningful impact on this championship team was in a top 10, maybe not a lot. It was a top, whatever the lottery is, 10, top 10. None of them were in that group. Like Giannis was outside the group. Middleton was way out of the group. Drew, I think, was a mid first rounder. Brooke Lopez, I don't even think he was a top 10 pick, right? So like they did, and I know none of these guys were organic, but this was not like, and I guess some of them are known quantities or whatnot, and Connington was homegrown. So I guess he's got some kind of thing is that they just took guys who weren't, at least at the beginning of their career, considered these elite guys. It's a little different with Drew. He's a known quantity once they get him, right? Like they trade, like you said, they moved heaven and earth to bring him in. They way overpaid for Drew Holiday. Again, it paid off, but I don't think anyone at the time looked at that deal and was like, wow, the Bucks stole Drew Holiday. I was like, what? They gave him what for Drew Holiday? They paid him how much? That was like basically the universal reaction to that deal. So I think Giannis taking that shot and saying we did it the hard way, you're like, yeah, you did it the hard way. Like you stayed in a small market, you signed the contract, you believed in everybody. But it wasn't like you then picked up four guys from the YMCA to put around you and carried them over the finish line, right? It's like these guys are also really talented NBA players. So I do find that part where the funniest part about it is in terms of Harden, there's like literally no comeback because it's like you can say, what's the comeback here? It's like, yeah, you're right. You won the championship. Like, what can I do? I find that part kind of hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brooke Lopez, 10th overall pick in 2008. So right on the fringe there of being that kind of talent. But that's the difference too. Like to me, the equivalent, this would be go back to say LeBron James days, the first time around in Cleveland. You know, he surged all the way to the finals with Booby Gibson and Varejao and some of these other fringe players. Now, you go and win it like that, that's doing it the hard way, friends, because you're not only doing it technically by yourself, so to speak, but you're also doing it with an organization that is either too incompetent, incapable, unwilling to go spend the money and make the moves around you that need to happen in order to fulfill that. Now, by the way, back in that earlier iteration of Cleveland, you also have to think LeBron James is young. So he's just starting out his career. These early moves are impressive that he's able to get to the finals. But you think you still have a long ways to go. Giannis, again, we're taking nothing away from this. You're 26 years old and you won this chip here. To compare it directly to James Harden, James Harden's 30, 31. Like he was waiting for it to happen. He started out in OKC, by the way, too, and he was traded from there. He ends up developing and becoming who he is in Houston. And then he's there with them for a substantial amount of time before you get to a place, again, where you say, okay, if it's not going to happen here, if we can't make this work, yes. And you can talk about all the mechanisms of how he gets out of there and all that stuff, but it does build up. Like any decision you're making in your life or trying to stick something out, at some point, you get to a place where you say, all right, maybe it's just not going to happen here. And again, that's why I bring it back to the idea of, hey, guess what? Maybe the playoffs look a little different. Maybe KD hits that three-pointer instead of toe on the line. If you guys go out in the second round and now you're 27, now you're 28, now you're 29, and you haven't gotten back there yet, you're going to start to look around the same way that you hear about Dame Lillard now, who's always been a team guy, wants to do it the right way, wants to stay with the place that drafted him, and also gets to a point where he starts to read the tea leaves of whether or not it's going to be feasible there and starts to wonder what else may be possible. So it is somewhat prisoner of the moment that it worked out right now for you. And what tune, by the way, this may be the golden ticket for Giannis, and now he'll be comfortable. And he's a different personality. I don't know if he'll ever want to leave Milwaukee. But what if another 6 years go by and you don't win another championship and you're 32, 33? You may change your tune then. So, you know, in the spectrum of how these things get looked at, I think it's easy to hold those kind of comments or those perspectives against somebody right now, because guess what? You just won a championship.
Yeah, and in the heat of the moment, you're going to say things and you're going to, you know, it was a moment of pride. And, I think it was probably in the end more pride than a dig. He's in the moment. He's kind of like, you know, he's got this ready to go. It's mostly that he's got it ready to go, right? He's got this comment kind of ready to, like, that's the piece where it's like, oh, yeah. He was like, he was thinking about this ahead of time, right? It was like, there's a reason this is kind of the first thing out of your mouth. But you're right. Like, you know, life is long. Careers are longer sometimes than you think. In some ways, they're short. Like, there's a very good chance this is Giannis's only championship appearance. That's just, by the way, that's not me saying because I think they're bad or anything. That's just the math. It's just hard to get there, right? Like, it's just hard. It's very hard for players to get there. Getting there once is very tough. Winning, it's nearly impossible. And so if you were just playing the math, you would say, I think that this will be, you know, maybe 2.5 is the over-under on number of times he's going to be in the NBA championship. Forget about winning it. I probably would possibly take the under, even knowing the one now, right? Just because that's just how things go. It's like really, it's really, really hard. It's really hard to get there. But yeah, the fact that he had it queued up is, I find it funny. We'll talk a little more super team stuff here in a second. Let me just talk about Built Bar. Oh my gosh, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, folks. This is a Nets podcast, but it's kind of also an Olympic podcast at this point. That's Built Bar, U.S. national track and field team. Took it with them. You should too. There are so many delicious flavors. Coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, cookies, and cream. Very best protein bar in the market. Best tasting and best for you. Here's some of the stats, because you like the stats when it comes to these kinds of things. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories ranging from 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Just 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at built.com. I was going to say that there's only really one path to winning a championship at this point, and it's to have basically a top five-ish player and then have like essentially a super team around them. I don't really know. That's just kind of how the math works at this point. There's a certain group of guys that you need, a certain group of guys to be the best guy on your team. The list is pretty damn small, right? To be able to kind of win it all. The Suns came close. You know, it's unclear, you know, they lost in six, so you could say it really wasn't that close, right? Like, I know they won the first two games, but you just kind of do need super teams. So at some point, someone on your team is going to have gotten there some other way, right? Like, the Nets did it. I know people want to take digs at the Nets because it's like, well, you know, none of these guys were from here. They all just kind of like hired gun their way in, and they forced it, and they all signed, and they, you know, they forced the Harden trade, and they made it so that, you know, they basically made it so James Harden would hold a gun to the Rockets, a proverbial gun, metaphorical gun to the Rockets' head. And then I'm sure those guys went in there and said, hey, we need to have him. I don't think you needed to twist Sean Marks' arm at that point. But it really just can't go any other way. Look at all the teams where this kind of happened with, right? Like, the Suns went out, had to get Chris Paul to get him over that hump. Is he a superstar? Yes. Okay. Was it enough to win the championship? No, but he's still a superstar. And then the rest of these groups of the guys that make the playoffs make the finals every year and then ultimately win, the list just has to have one of those guys on it. Giannis, LeBron, right? Kawhi, Steph before that, with Durant, right? Like, this is just the list. I don't really know what else to say. So at some point, if the hard way is to make sure you have all the best guys on your team, that's just, it's not easy or hard. It's just the only way. Giannis just happens to be one of those guys, right? Yeah, so like, it's going to look like it was hard, but he just is one of those guys.
Yeah. And this is like in one of those years, you know, with all these injuries and everything else, but even when you look at it, okay, so, you know, the Hawks made it to the conference finals. And they have Trae Young, and you think about some of the other pieces that are there and where they may end up. But when you look at a lot of these teams across both conferences, the Clippers, They have two superstars on that team. They made it to the conference finals. The Nets suffered injuries, but they had three superstars. Now, the Denver Nuggets, though, they get bounced out. When you look at them, you think, is Jamal Murray on his way? Maybe. They have the Joker, obviously. You go back even beyond that, and you think about having Donovan Mitchell and having Gobert as well, and what that team is comprised of. Like, to your point, I don't know where you put the threshold, or even, by the way, a team like Portland, I don't know why I'm so focused in the West right now, but a team like Portland who has Dame Lillard and then wherever you want to put McCollum, and they haven't been able to get out of the first couple of rounds of the playoffs by and large. So you talk about top 20 and whatever talent it's going to take around them, like it's the double down. And this actually is the other little piece that I'll touch on briefly just to maybe bring in a different element to this conversation to close it out. Is the idea of, let's go back to the original comments that Harden had, right? I wish that I was 7 feet tall and I could just jump over top everybody, shoot over top of everyone. I got to work my butt off to be as good as I am. It's easier when your number one is a Giannis. And by the way, when it's a KD, like, so I'm not taking anything off of what the Nets are able to do. It's easier when your number one, though, is also the proverbial unicorn of their position. When you have a big man that is also a top 10 talent in the league, it makes the surrounding pieces a lot easier to put together than if Chris Paul, right? Is he one of the best players? Of course he is. Now, he made the finals, but an elite point guard, that alone does not win you a championship. LeBron James can do it as a point guard because he's not just a point guard. He's also every other position on the court for you. So I think that maybe that's that part of it, just from a roster composition and how a smaller market team, quote unquote, can accomplish this. Is, and by the way, you selected Giannis. You drafted him, so good on you. But that's what makes it a easier lift to accomplish the other pieces. Denver, theoretically, should be able to get to the mountaintop or as close as possible because you have a player like Jokic.
Well, yeah.
The Portland Trailblazers, as good as they've been with McCollum and Lillard, that's why that doesn't work so well, though. Because this is your backcourt, and those guys can only impact a game to a certain level before size and athleticism, those other elements do take a toll and do pay dividends if you have it.
That's why, to me, I was talking about, and you know him, my buddy James, we were just having this like sort of post-mortem after the finals the other day, and we were talking about there's a group of players. I'm not going to rank them here, but I'm positive this is the group. There's a group of players that you kind of basically need to have on your team to be able to, like, they're the four players where actually the rest of your team doesn't matter. Like, it gives you so much flexibility if these are your best players because you can just kind of do anything around these guys. It'll be better or worse, but you're not going to have to create a system around them. And they basically qualify as you can give the ball essentially to them at the top of the key and something's going to happen. Like, Giannis is a little different because it's like freight train. He's going to do pick and roll stuff. Like, he's going to be able to affect the game in a way that it's a little different than the rest of this group. And then on the defensive end, they're like 1A defenders, right? And this is like, mm-hmm. This is where you can't put Dame and get guys like this in. Steph, I guess, is like the one guy maybe. And we can talk about what he sort of still needed around him and what he needs around him to be able to win. But to me, that group is in no order. It's Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Giannis, Kawhi. That's the group. Now, everyone else to me is in a step below that group.
Yep.
Because it kind of does start to matter what's around them. I would put 80 very close. And by the way, I'm backing out injury stuff, right? I'm not saying I'm building a team. I'm saying all these guys are healthy. Yeah. That's the benchmark for this, right? So I get that 80 is always injured. That's not part or parcel to my argument here. It's like, who can I build a team around where I have to worry less about what is around them and I can just, I just have this guy. I kind of need this guy, frankly, to win. Like that, like this is like, and I need one of these four guys. By the way, the finals, the people that have won the finals over the last 4 years fit into this group. That group that I just gave, one of those four guys has won the finals. Maybe Giannis wouldn't have been in that group ahead of time.
Right.
Like, but the thing is, I'm not retroactively looking at who won the last four finals and deciding on the group is. I think most people would agree that is the group, right? And it just happens to be that it works out that that's who's won all the championships over the last half a decade. So this is where the Giannis thing is like, yeah, you did it the easy way because you're actually just one of the guys. Or excuse me, you did it the hard way, but you're just right, you're one of the guys. The actual hard way was finding you and putting you in the uniform. All the rest of it gets a lot easier after that. Like, right, it can happen or not happen. The hardest part is just finding the you and then you know, just slotting in dudes around you. But the hardest part was done by the Bucks when they just took him and believed in him. And I would make the guess that almost anyone who had done that hard part would have also been in a similar situation, because we just seen what Giannis's work ethic and, you know, ability to win is, right? So, and I, by the way, I wouldn't put Harden in that group. I know you can't put Harden in the group. So it's like, there's no, you can't, this, you, is he great? Yes. Is he top 10 player in the league? Yes. Whatever. I mean, people were making their lists earlier and, you know, what that top 10 list is. And people were going nuts about it. He's there. But I'm just saying, there is that group, but then there's a subgroup, and it's those four guys to me. And it's like, you just kind of just, the hard part is just getting one of these guys and then figuring out the rest after that.
Yeah, and, that, and that's why winning championships is hard. And again, it's why you credit teams and organizations that find the right player. You know, LeBron, a little easier to find that if you were the Cleveland Cavaliers at the time. But finding these players, or identifying, to your point, identify this skill set and understand what the impact is of a select group of players, because you're not, you know, you can't quantify it universally, but think about the names you mentioned. Think about the size of those players, right? Kawhi is the smallest guy out of that group, but he's an apex defender and has been throughout his career. So that impact is different too. Like, so figure out, you know, it's like the analytic piece of it, go into the numbers, go into whatever the measurables can be and understand that's, there's always going to be, to your point, I think, a difference between the best version of Dame Lillard versus these other players that just have the natural gift, or the James Hardens, right? That have the natural gifts of being a little bit taller, having a unique formation of what their body looks like, and then also having the personality, the demeanor, the drive, etc. Because when you see that Giannis put on 50 pounds of muscle from when he was drafted, yeah, guess what? You can't teach that. You do need that level of dedication. And that's why you understand when Giannis says, I did it the hard way. I built myself up to this point. But the Bucks did it the easy way. They saw you. They saw what you could become. And they went ahead and took that path knowing that they could get to that place. So, I mean, listen, it's a fun conversation, and I like it. And I do like to see a little bit of that chippiness maybe from Giannis too. And it sets the table for what should be a continued fun offseason. And then guess what, buddy? You're probably going to see us, those as in the Brooklyn Nets, the Royal We. You may find us again in the playoffs. And if you think that Harden won't be excited to another level to take you guys on fully healthy, yeah, that should be a very interesting series.
God willing. All right, we're going to get out of here. Locked On Nets, obviously, is the podcast. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Thanks for everyone that's hanging around in Green Room right now. We'll jump in there in a second. The way you help, like I said, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
Listen to that Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It's got the analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough, all the local experts making the selections, all the analysis around it. You can find it by searching the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your home for all the audio, sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Enjoy your weekend, friends, but be careful because it can get away from you pretty quickly. What do I mean by that? Paddling in the Atlantic Ocean on a dead body. Now, this is a perfect weekend. I get this beautiful beach from my host. He's dead. I fell down a lighthouse. I had a corpse watch up next to me. And then I found out that my dead boss actually was a thief and wants to kill me. I'm talking about a great weekend. Richard Parker.
Man, I did not know when that was going to end. All right, one of the all-time great poets. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.